Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
I'm Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, this is going out on the main What Culture Gaming channel because occasionally we put one out there to get more people in. They can go across and subscribe to the What Culture Gaming Podcast channel. But when we sort of come across to the main channel, we like to do bigger discussions, bigger things
yes.
that will maybe be more interesting to a wider arrays of the populace. And as me and Josh talked about a Xbox patent on the main channel earlier this morning when we're recording this, I thought I'd delve into all the other patents that are sort of have been filed and things that are coming up about the upcoming generation, all the different ways that Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo seem to be planning for the future, but they're yet to put things into practice. Because I don't know if you guys have ever dove into the wild world of patents.
No. There's some mad stuff in
there. I kind of think of it as like when companies like buy a bunch of URLs and it's like, well, we might not need all of them, but we'll do one thing. And they just try and cover as many bases as possible, which leads to, I'm just going to run these down. I've got about seven sort of crazy patents for the future of the industry. And the opening one is something that I think Josh and Ewan did on some news last week. But
this one's good.
This is insane.
This
so the thing,
good.
This is for the PS5. This is a 3D hologram technology that they're
Whoa.
Working on, which was uncovered by Let's Go Digital, wrote it up, and there's a write-up from Push Square and stuff. But it's basically the idea that even if you were sitting in a living room, the PS5 or whatever sort of system it was, it would be would project a big old 3D image in front of you, kind of like Minority Report, kind of like any old sort of futurescape movie, and you would just watch that instead. And it's this is the write-up on Push Square, said that the 3D holographic display works by bouncing light on hundreds of micro mirrors that can spin extremely quickly, aiming a separate image to the left and right eyes of the viewer at the correct angle.
What?
So what you're saying, Scott, beams lasers directly into your eyeballs.
I believe so.
And then an image is created.
Apparently it says face detection will allow the display to know how many people are watching, and it'll even be able to tell how far you are from the display. The result is a display that can send fully 3D images to multiple users from any angle.
I don't know why we need this, but I need it, is the conclusion.
My initial thoughts were that we've spent most of this generation chasing 4K and clarity and resolutions, and then holograms are going to be blurry as hell.
Yeah, but they're going to be holograms, like, of all the things.
Holograms
like,
aren't that cool.
They are quite cool.
They're
all right. Have you ever watched a sci-fi movie?
Yeah, but if you've seen holograms in real life, they're nowhere near as cool as that.
We don't know that yet, though. We've only had crap holograms.
I bought that Jack White album, and there's a little hologram on top of the vinyl, and it wasn't anywhere near as
crap. Holograms.
You know what? I don't know what this is, but I'm sure it's going to be better than the Jack White album.
A few things are.
This one sounds really cool. But the pattern says you can shoot a beam of light into your eye, and yet the person next to you can get a completely different image because they're getting another beam of light shot into their eye, so that you can play around with perspective. There was one example I think was used about a game where you get to see sort of kind of like inside a box, so you get to see a 3D image, and then you only get to see a 2D image, and you have to go back and forward and talk to each other about this kind of
Schrodinger's box.
What do you mean talk to each other?
Well, you know that game, I think it's called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, where you have to, essentially one person has a VR headset on, and I think they're defusing a bomb, and the other person is kind of like giving them instructions.
Yes.
This sounds kind of like it could facilitate games like that, where you're seeing two kind of different screens or two different, you know, perspectives, as it were, and then you have to coordinate together to get to the end of the game. I don't know whether you like that stuff. That's really interesting and good at parties.
It's definitely very interesting, but like that means that like if the system did this stuff, then you wouldn't need a TV anymore. It would just be you buy a PS5, it would project the stuff above.
Yes.
And it's a big hologram and it's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you have to convince me? I'm just
evidently
saying.
Evidently you do. You're saying holograms are crap.
Then most of the modern day holograms are pretty blurry, pretty bad.
I don't know. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a very nifty idea. If we're going to play around with new things and VR and all that sort of stuff, I'd like to see holograms because it's like AR kind of technology, isn't it?
Well, this was the other thing, Ash. This was the other sort of sort of usage of it described in the pattern, and that was you can essentially have a home theater experience beamed in your eyes because you can just get the image that's right here. You can't see
beamed in your eyes.
You can just get a cinema screen, and I don't need to go and talk to people at the cinema because cinema people.
Oh God,
are
I'm with
bad,
you with that.
Okay?
The worst.
They're the worst people. The worst. And they put their stinky feet behind your head, and you won't have to get that at home unless I'm at home with my dad because he likes to do that. But Joe, stop it. Stop it, son. Put your shoes on in the house. But yeah, honestly, I like this idea for technology. It makes me excited.
I'm always game for new sort of like, you know, hardware innovations and things that they're doing that haven't been done before. I just, it's a bit weird because like you said, the sort of VR, the AR side of it, it would negate the whole point of PSVR. It would negate having to buy a 4K TV. It would negate most of the stuff that they've steered into this past generation.
No, it's another new experience, another way of earning money for them, though, isn't it? Because if they make like holograms the new big thing, everyone's going to go, wow, I need a hologram, because we're both going, wow, we need holograms. And then you've got your 4K TV and your PS4 Pro and your PS hologram, and then they'll come up with something else to go with it, like the hologram wave control where you can do everything with your fingers or something.
I kind of think what sort of genres would adapt themselves to holographic technology. And I guess you would be like walking simulators and stuff like that, like most VR stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like making it like a stand-in for a big screen right in front of your face. But I guess the fact that they've looked into this at least shows for me more like almost a Nintendo style mentality of what sort of gimmicky type thing can we look into that hopefully they can pull off.
Well, that's sort of the worry, you know. We've lived through a lot of gimmicks at this moment in time. We've lived through the age of 3D televisions, which did not set the world on fire like they were supposed to.
I had a 3D TV and it didn't make anything 3D.
Did you know anyone who bought a 3D TV?
I did.
Yeah, me.
Oh, did you buy one?
I literally just said that.
I don't think it was that good.
Yeah, anyway, the point is, it wasn't very good, and then it went out of fashion really quickly, so I hope hologram technology isn't that. But what's interesting, I think they said in the sort of description for the patent, is that it wasn't just a PS5 thing, it would be compatible for the PS5, but it said it would also potentially be compatible for the Nintendo Switch and the Xbox One, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You have that sort of cross-sharing of tech.
Uh-huh. Imagine a Switch that you could just put down and then the hologram comes out of it, like right into your eyes, like beam straight into your eyes from the upwards little thing.
Do you think we're sort of imagining holograms like what we see them in movies, where it's just like, it'll be that pristine and that perfect, Star Wars style, but not all blue.
Yes. That's what I want.
Maybe. Assumedly, if they go through with this, it would have to be a separate box. It couldn't be like the PS5 projects this thing. It couldn't be something that, like, if it's going to work cross-compatible with Xbox, it can't be the system itself that creates the projection.
Yeah.
Which seems kind
of
nuts.
Well,
but
I think they're sort of like, they need something like this. They've had sort of stuff like the Move controllers and the PlayStation camera for years, and that tech is just so outdated. We haven't had like a real, you know, revolution in like those accessories or peripherals in a long, long time. Even PlayStation VR, which I think is really, you know, great tech. Mm-hmm. It uses old tech and sort of, you know, uses the Move controls, which weren't made for virtual reality, but they've kind of been retrofitted, so, you know, gets the job done. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sick of Sony just getting the job done. Like, give me new tech and support it like you have been with the PSVR across the board. Like, it doesn't have to overshadow PlayStation 5, but if it can go alongside it as an accessory, then that'd be cool.
Sony, like, rarely lead the charge. They tend to, like, follow and do something a bit better. Like, it's very, it's been a while since they've sort of said, here's this brand new idea, and like, oh my God, we perfected it, and everyone else sort of do our thing. So I'm game for it. It seems nuts. It seems crazy. Yeah. Holographic technology just seems like, no, I don't even know who was asking for this. Apart from Ash Milliman with a 3D TV. But maybe it's a way
3D
to make
holograms,
it work. Speaking of peripherals, though, another thing down is the Nintendo Switch have patented for the Switch some hinged Joy-Cons. Which
that seems like a good idea, maybe.
You think so? It's weird. It's like, if you imagine the Switch, the way that the pattern sort of like shows it is that the rails are the same, so it still clicks into the side of the Switch, but the actual like body of the Joy-Con, the top of it slides upwards and then like forwards.
Yeah.
So you're sort of like, you're kind of holding it at like a 20 to 30 degree angle. I had the total opposite reaction to you, Ash. I had the reaction of, why is this?
If it makes it more comfortable and there's like a more like suitable hand position and everything, and that it works with other ways that they do motion control, I think that could be a really interesting way of doing it. As someone that would never use it, like, it sounds really good. It sounds really great.
I was gonna say, as someone who hasn't got a Switch yet, does this make it remotely more appealing?
I don't know. I like Nintendo's gimmicky stuff. I like hearing about it. I like seeing it. I like playing it with my friends and stuff. If they had a load of gimmicky things to go with the Switch, I'd probably be more interested in it. Like, and I'm whacking it out as a party piece. Mm-hmm. And I think I see what you mean with the hinge. I think that's potentially a good way of doing it. I haven't seen any other like portable controller ever have like a control like that.
No, and it's like, I mean, because for me, like, the form factor of the Switch as it is nigh on it. Well, I think it's identical to the 3DS, like the size of the buttons and stuff, which I always found the 3DS to be quite cramped. But like that idea of injecting more like ergonomics into the handheld, like Nintendo are very much going for the whole like handheld and living room domination thing. They've got the Switch Lite, and it's like they want people to be playing these systems like constantly. But then if they roll this out on the main Switch, did they then change the light as well?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. As someone who doesn't own the Pro Controller for the Switch, this is quite an interesting idea.
Get the Pro Controller. It's really good.
I need it because the Joy-Cons as they are now are fine, but they're like inelegant and they're chunky, and when you take them off the stand thing, it doesn't really work.
If you know how to Pro Controller, that means that every time you dock to your Switch, you have to take the Joy-Cons out and use the little rail controller thing.
Use a little rail controller.
It's bad.
It's not great, but it gets the job done, and it's fine. But as I get older and older, as I move into the late 20s, my hands start hurting, guys, when I'm playing wrong controllers.
I'm 10 years older than you.
I've been playing a lot of Xbox One recently for some reason. I've been playing a lot of Gears of War. And after long sessions on it, my fingers hurt a little bit because it's too big and it's not very pleasant, unlike the DualShock 4.
The Xbox controller is the best controller of all the consoles.
I mean, that's a lie.
It's so satisfyingly chunky.
It's not the DualShock 4.
It's so pretty and smooth. No, I love the Xbox controller. It's better than a DualShock.
My weak hands, Ash, can't put the right trigger in. It hurts. It clicks.
This is because you've made your hands all gammy from playing with the rail controller rather than the Pro one.
You've deformed yourself.
Okay,
the Xbox controller's all like clacky and weird. I like that the noises that it makes always put me
off. It's so satisfying. Like,
It
sounds like it's falling apart.
Yeah, but see, the DualShock making noises at me. I've been like playing Horizon at the moment, whilst I'm like doing all the scanning. It keeps
turn that on.
That's the best part.
No, you don't need that.
The beam of light out at the back. That's awesome.
I don't like the beam, and I don't like when it's flashing red when I'm running around and all that sort of thing. That's distracting.
Yep.
When the noise comes out, why is there a touch screen on it? I don't need a touch
I don't
screen,
know, to so. Be honest. There was actually, Josh, you mentioned a thing which I forgot to write down, but you said there was a patent about a touch screen controller coming up for the PS5.
Yes, that was just one of the potential DualShock ideas that was patented, where you've got, as it is right now, it's a touchpad as it is now, but this would be a proper, like, sort of, I don't know, more advanced version of that. I like it, to be honest. I like the touchpad, and I like the little speaker thing, and I like the light. I think it's very underutilized. I think it's really cool. You might disagree with me here, Ash, because I'm pretty sure this is how Horizon uses it. But when you get like a sort of audio log or something like that, and it plays through the speaker, it makes it feel a little bit more intimate, a little bit like I'm sort of having it around myself. I like it. It's a bit of a gimmick, but it's a good gimmick.
I don't think Horizon does that. It's literally just the zhoosh noise. I do like it.
That sucks.
I think Gone Home does that.
Yeah, well, audio log stuff is interesting when it comes through the thing. And it's innovative and it's a cool idea. And it's like, again, it's gimmicks that are fun and everything like that. But I do find the DualShock, compared to the Xbox One controller, quite distracting because it does everything. So I'm like, woo.
It's weird with the touchpad because, like, for me, like, for the vast majority of games, the touchpad is just a giant button. Yeah. Like, hardly anybody uses it as a touchpad. Some games you can swipe through a map, but I never really found that to feel that natural or good or whatever compared to, like, the way that you would scroll through a phone screen or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the thing. Do they double down on that going forward and be like, okay, well, here's a full-on touch screen with, like, you know, like Wii U style. Here's like a mini screen and it would give you an inventory system and like whatever.
You're just making mobile games then.
Ooh,
like, you are just making mobile games, because if it's a touch screen like controller, you might as well just port it to a mobile. There's no real need.
Because if you had like a big old Horizon, and then you could access your inventory on the controller, you just tap little, equip your bow and all that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that makes it a lot more of a mobile market sort of thing. I think people would take advantage of that and turn it into a mobile thing. There's so much you see touch screens. And also, touch screens are unreliable and janky at best. Like, if you bash it a little bit, it's going to be screwed. And
that's
it's
a really good point.
Cost so much money to replace. Like, I just think what we've got at the moment is much better.
I throw my controller way more than I've ever thrown a phone well, so it's probably not going to last that long.
What I would want, don't even know if this is possible, where the touch screen is, for it to pop up on a little nice little flat screen, like a
hologram.
A hologram, yeah.
A hologram, but also a keyboard. Give me a little keyboard that can tap on there. And you get like one that you could slot in. I think it was for the Xbox One or the 360 where you could do it. I don't want that. I want it already built in. It's a little touchscreen thing. So
interesting.
Tape away because it's annoying having to use the
But it's so
thing.
Small.
I can't remember what you
a
call
it. A board is small.
I can't remember what you call the technology, but before the Switch came out, when we didn't know what the next Nintendo was going to be, one of the things that they patented back then was an all-glass controller, like a completely see-through, opaque controller, that apparently would they would fire electricity into it, and it would make buttons appear out of it. Like, it was like this whole the mobile phone companies did it back then for a while as well, but it never really seemed to take off. But the idea that, like, any sort of screen could also become buttons, which I like the idea of, in theory kind of thing, but obviously Nintendo never went forward with that, even though the patents were out there for it. But I don't know if that's, like, a way, like, what do you guys think if that would be a way to sort of do a touchscreen controller?
They do keyboards for it at the moment, where it's, like, literally just a light, and you can tap on whatever surface you're using to make it into a keyboard. And I think they look really pretty, and it's a neat idea, but I don't think it's very practical, because it all works off light beams, so So if you're in a really bright room, really dark room, that can affect it. If you like have like a hand go, then you like presses all the buttons sort of thing. Like it's I don't know. I don't think
I want the feedback too. Like I want the clicky clack like the buttons. Like I don't just want.
Oh,
like,
now we like clicking and clacking.
Air feedback. Yeah, but no one. It feels like it's broken, Ash. I want it to feel like it feels good when you type it. Not that the whole thing's falling apart.
The big issue for me when it comes to this sort of controller technology and getting really advanced, like having these lights that allow you to type and stuff, is that. That's going to boost up the price of the console overall. Yeah. And if that's going to happen, I'd rather have that, you know, in the console itself, in the hardware, and making that juicier rather than having these gimmicks like a hologram on the controller. That's cool.
I'd like a hologram.
But if it's going to make me pay £500 for the console, I probably wouldn't like it so much.
True. Another thing on the PlayStation side is PlayStation Assistant, which they have not officially mentioned yet, but there are patents for it. What your little face?
I'm going to defend this.
Are you so tell you, okay, so Ash, you know what this is?
Is it like Google Assistant? For
might as well be. So
they're
going with this thing called PlayStation Assistant, which they've sort of described as being like a Siri style thing that you can talk to. But the whole more unique aspect with this is that it, through technology, has a way of reading the game that you're in.
Yeah.
And if you sort of call out like, "Oh God, help me! I'm stuck" or whatever, it knows where you are. What knows where you are?
Oh God, help me!
Lord, please help me! And then it apparently like brings up a YouTube video or whatever and says like, "Well, you know, you can tell that you were stuck on this boss. Here's what you need to do," and whatever, which is the same stuff that Google Stadia is working towards in terms of the savior button. Should call someone in.
I scream that sends a lot.
Sends a priest
in. When I play games, I'm like, oh God, what do I do? And it's just to hear, knowing that it's going to respond to me would freak me out.
Yeah, I don't want it sort of kicking in, like recognizing my swear words and then, I don't know, sending the priest around or whatever. But yeah, the whole thing with this is that, assumably it would recognize the game state and would pull up a YouTube video or whatever based on where you are, which is what Google Stadia is going for. They have like a dedicated button for it and they can scan the game and whatever. But Josh, you like this?
Yes, I do a lot. Because even though I don't really use Alexa or Google Assistant or anything like that, I think they're kind of, a lot of people do, and it's kind of cool. It's a cool idea that I want to try out more. Mm-hmm. But I think it works for PlayStation games especially because, let me tell you a little tale. I've been going through the Devil May Cry series, like I told you this morning, Scott. And because they're older games, I'm on the fourth one. Because they're older games, when I get stuck, I don't want to, you know, just smash my way through it. I'm just kind of, I'm beyond that point. I just want to look at guides, I want to get through, I want to get the trophies, and I don't want to have to, you know, pay too much attention to it, which might be the wrong way to play them, but it's the way I'm playing them now. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this is going to be the most complainy, whiniest thing I've ever said. But when you're looking at a walkthrough on your phone, and you have to scroll through everything to see where you need to go next, and then close your phone down, then look at the game, and then try it out, then fail, and go back to your phone. It takes time.
It takes about 5 seconds.
It takes about 20 seconds, and that's 20 seconds too long, Scott, because if I can just say, "Hello, PlayStation Assistant, please find me where to go next," and it pops it up, and then it's just on the screen, in a screen within a screen, I think that's quite cool.
I still think that's going to take accessible. That's going to take you out of the game, though, the same way looking at your phone would, and it's going to pass across. Like, it's going to have to do like a screen sharing thing.
Yeah, but that's fine.
I think just play the game, Josh, is what I think. I think just play the goddamn game.
Ash, some trophies are really hard to get, I'll have you know. It needs some help.
Do you deserve them if you can't get them? Do you?
Thing is, going through Link's Awakening at the minute, like that, any sort of puzzle game, I have like the lowest tolerance for puzzles. Where, like, I'll try a few things and I'm just in a room with a box and whatever, and I'm just like, I don't have it in me to just keep trying it. Yeah. So just tell me the thing. But I don't mind just firing up YouTube and like searching for the big old long walkthrough, that big 8-hour clip where someone's done the whole thing and just thumbing through that. So I don't know how much it's going to work.
It's one of those things, like I said in the other news video this morning, that a lot of the features that have kind of defined this generation for me, a lot of the subtler ones like resume play or kind of like downloading in the background. If you asked me before this generation kicked off, I'd have said that they weren't sort of big things, but now I couldn't imagine a console without them. If I go back to the 360, it doesn't have that kind of pick up and play feature. I'm just kind of there like, what did I even do for 7-8 years before?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, like I just bought like a Game Boy Advance SP. I'm going back through Minish Cap, and I was like in a dungeon on a train, and then realizing that I couldn't like close the game books, I would lose all my progress.
Yeah,
that horrible realization. It's like reminds me when your mum calls you for tea. You're like, I can't go. I've got to finish the thing. I can't leave the room.
I was playing the PlayStation Classic around Christmas time, and I remember jumping into that, and I assumed because it's kind of an updated version of older games and an older console that it would just have the suspend thing, and it didn't. And I lost a lot of progress. It was very mad at Siphon Filter because I didn't save it.
Oh God, yeah.
But, what I was getting to was essentially just, I can see that becoming what PlayStation Assistant is, where it's kind of a feature that we all kind of look at now and go, why do we need that? Mm. You know, it's fine as it is, and it is fine as it is, but it's those little quality of life things that can go a long way in the long run.
I think something like an instant access, like helping thing would be kind of strange in terms of how it would smooth over difficulty curves overall. Like, would a game like Sekiro even ever get greenlit? Because a developer would be purposefully making something that goes against a console feature, or at least, like, you know, is going to be in tandem with it kind of thing.
I don't know. I would say more with stuff like Sekiro, it would have an inbuilt feature of an assistant that's already there that would, like, tie into your assistant.
Just tells you to go away.
Yeah, well, rather than looking to YouTube, like, games would start to be built with their own assistant in. And I must say, I'm very pro walkthrough. I was just winding up Joshua earlier. I think walkthroughs are great.
Clarify your stats.
Yeah, I do. I think they're great, and I use them as well. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, I feel like it's a really good idea, but also, there is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than when a game gives you that little feeling when it pops up the, we noticed that you can't do this level.
Yeah.
Would you like to skip it? Would you like some help?
Do you want
to
lower the difficulty?
Screw you, I can do it! Like, it's like hit and run with the one that always comes up. It's like, do you want to skip this level? It's like, no, I goddamn don't. I want to frickin' finish it is what I want to do.
Do it.
But the level's maxed out.
What?
On the volume levels.
Sorry.
I want to freaking do it.
I
think it's weird because, like, assumedly it wouldn't prompt you. You'd have to be the person who realizes that it's not for you and then call out into the ether, oh, please God save me, and then it would sort of kick in.
I'm pretty sure in the patent description it said it's kind of like an optional thing. It's obviously not going to be forced on people because that would get pretty annoying pretty quickly. But, you know, I like it as sort of a feature that's there for people who want it. And then if you don't want it, you can turn it off and just play Sekiro as you normally would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I want? I want a colder PlayStation.
What?
I know. The whole thing, which I think you guys have already seen, the patent that is kind of out there for the PS5 is the one that apparently all the dev kits are being based on, which is this giant sort of jet engine looking thing.
Yeah.
Now, it's not officially been confirmed, although some different devs have come out and said, this is what we've been supplied for when we're working on the PS5 tech. And that just seems like it's a system geared towards cooling. Like, the version that's out there as the patented one looks ridiculous. Looks like a big jetpack, and they'll obviously refine it and whatever. I'm game for the jetpack.
It looks like
a Call of Duty pickup, but whatever. But I guess in terms of like a system overheating, like, I don't know if you've ever picked up on when the PS4's fans are going crazy and it just feels like the whole thing's going to melt. And it's like, I want a system that is going to be nice and cool, and I can just be nice and silent and just work like a TV. Yeah.
All
I'm game.
On board for this, because as much as I was laying into the Xbox One earlier in this podcast, when I was playing that for extensive periods of time, and then went back to my PlayStation 4 and I think I booted up some recent exclusive, and it sounded like a jet engine, and the PlayStation 4 was supposed to be the machine that's really quiet, and it was when I bought it, but that thing just collects dust. And even when you clean it out, you get in, you open it up, and you clean out every single thing that's inside it, mm-hmm. it still sounds really loud. And I don't want it to it sound really loud.
Xbox One isn't. Very quiet, very smooth, very airy in comparison, I'd say.
It's a little bit smoother.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah. I think it's in terms of them sort of like gearing the hardware more towards cooling systems and just sort of general performance stuff without necessarily front-loading, like, you know, the first images of this thing or the first words about this stuff hasn't been the new menu systems. It's been like, okay, we're working on SSD drives and making it cooler and whatever. Because, like, for me with them, even the PS4 Pro when I upgraded, it still lags when it jumps between menus. And the Xbox dashboard, like, for me is terrible. Like, I think it's like this weird Windows 10 knockoff thing that just doesn't feel good to use. But I would hope that by leading with, like, the hardware side, you'll just get nice, cool, just systems that just work. Just liquid butter systems, like how a TV works. What?
No, just a liquid butter PlayStation. Greasy.
It'll be beautiful. One of the other things that I got down is back on the Xbox side, which is the thing that me and Josh did in an earlier video. But in terms of a wider conversation, Xbox has very much patented a VR patent, which would be you would have the headset, you would have a couple of motion controllers, but you'd also have a VR mat to put on the floor that you sort of like spread across the room, and then apparently that would like help detect where you are in a game and would help you sort of move through environments and whatever. What do you think of that idea versus the Oculus or versus PSVR?
Dance mat, VR. That's what it's going to be, 100% the whole time. But no, I think
dancing
a mat
through Skyrim.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, that's okay. But I think a mat is a great idea because there's the whole thing with VR is being in the singular spot, and lots of games when you play them, you have to like use like portals or whatever, and like we have to pull yourself forward, or you don't really get like a movement aspect to it. It's very much you're in it in your little position. So having a mat where you could like run around the corners and everything, it can feel your feet going up and down, so you can actually move around it. I think that's a really good idea. That's taken a long time to
the thing
get
that
here.
Freaks me out with it is because I've seen all those different like custom setups that people have where it's a mat that moves, and like how do I say people? I've seen like them on the Gadget Show, where it's like it's like a ball that moves, and you can run on it, and it'll translate that movement into the game. But if it's just a mat that's on the floor, you're still gonna run and just still hit the edge.
But you could,
anyway.
I feel like it's more you're not gonna run for like I guess if it's a really wide mat, but just something that has feet sensors in, you could lift them up and down, and it would feel that you're walking.
Maybe
you don't have to run like forwards. You can just do it on the spot.
I didn't think of that. That's how the Ring Fit Adventure does it. Yeah, where you just like lift your legs up and stuff. Yeah, Josh, what do you think of this VR mat nonsense?
I don't know, man. Because again, it's one of those ideas where I discuss in a podcast where because I probably couldn't accommodate for it, I suddenly don't like it. Why? But yeah, I mean, I love VR stuff, obviously. This, to me, I couldn't really imagine in my small flat having this giant mat that I have to roll out every single time I put the VR headset on. Mm. Like, it sounds really cool, and I think there is so much scope to kind of, you know, innovate on, you know, tracking your feet and your movement in the game space in VR, because at the moment, that's the only kind of thing that breaks the immersion, as it were. It's really difficult to do, obviously, but I think the idea of having something that can, like Ash said, track your movement if you're walking up and down to move forward, or even just kind of say you're playing super hot VR and you can move behind cover slightly better if you're just like if you know exactly where you are foot spacing wise. I think it's a neat idea. I think it's probably much more elegant than, you know, those big contraptions, like you said, that you're in those
like a big
harnesses.
Chamber.
You're in a big chamber. You're on like a treadmill
hanging off the roof.
That's not feasible for me. So I don't like it. But
it's weird because it's like looking at something like the Oculus Quest, where it's a completely wireless headset you just put on. You have to worry about anything else. All the games are self-contained in the system. For me, that was the future of VR because like the thing that always put me off PSVR for the longest time was the setup. Whereas like the way that this is, there's more setup. There's like you said, there's the map to roll out. You still have your motion controllers and the headset. Where do you think that they're gonna go with this stuff in terms of like, you know, if the idea of VR is that it comes with all this rigmarole alongside it? For me, that's the wrong way to go. But I wonder if they think there's a novelty in setting the system up and then doing it.
I think there is what I said in the news video earlier was that when it comes to sort of setups like this, which, you know, you need to put that investment in both space-wise, money-wise, and time-wise, then it becomes a kind of like a premium product. That's like the highest bar of VR there is, whereas PSVR, for instance, is more of an entry-level thing. And it's still good and still works, and I still really enjoy it. It's more accessible. But there's just going to be like different tiers of it, I think. We're even seeing it now, you know, between, you know, the PSVR, the Oculus, the Vive. It's just there's so much space to add extra accessories and boost that experience that I think Microsoft could come into this space and then not have to directly compete with Sony on like the accessibility front. And then also not have to compete with the other guys directly as well, because they've got their own sort of system, they've got the mat, they've got something else. I think when it comes to VR at the moment, you can streamline certainly the headset and the controllers, make there be less wires. But I think just by its very nature, there's always going to be something cumbersome about it, and I feel like this is getting to a point where it looks more elegant, but it'll take a few iterations before we actually get to the point where it's pick up and play.
Yeah, and it's, the math thing, I totally get why you would do it, but I don't know anybody who has that free space. Who plays the... In what room where you're playing games do you also have a massive space in front of you?
Well, I feel like it's something either people would have to accommodate by clearing things out, which they're not going to want to do, but, and again, you need the floor space to begin with, or it's going to be a small mat that, again, just picks up feet movement, then that's the way it's going to do it. Like, it's still kind of stationary, but it's something that goes under your feet, because you'd have that room if you're playing VR anyway to, like, stand up. But like, yeah, the patent is a massive map, so I understand that.
It's
being like,
yeah,
like
in the diagram that you can go and Google or whatever, it's like a full on like a living room is the floor. I get what they're going for. It transforms the floor into the floor of the video game. Yeah, it's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea,
but it's a lot of space.
I like that Microsoft is getting in on VR at all though, because I mean, the more companies who start, you know, making their own VR tech and start greenlighting games, the stronger that is going to be across the board, no matter which console you're on. The more people are investing in it, the more developers and studios will also invest in it, and we should hopefully get better games out of it.
Yeah. True, and at least like, yeah, in terms of like just a base level, you have a certain set of equipment that can only be then played in a unique way that we haven't seen before, so you would hope the developers like play towards that.
I think the main thing for VR for me personally is it's very party game centric, and having a load of stuff that attaches to a party game isn't that much of an issue, because at least everyone's only there for a special occasion anyway, so you just get it all out and that's part of it. Whereas if it's like single player gaming, like that's when all of the extra and the faff gets real cumbersome.
Actually, Josh, you've played way more VR than me. Like, do you find overall that VR is better as a solo thing, as a more immersive thing, or it is like a fun, like novelty type thing?
Genuinely, I think it works both ways. When I'm playing games like Blood and Truth or Resident Evil 7 VR, that works so well at just immersing you into a world and giving you an experience. No Man's Sky as well. I haven't actually managed to play that yet, Scott says it's really good.
It's pretty good. It's the only thing I've got it for.
But on the other end of the spectrum, I remember when I got it one Christmas, and I remember putting like my dad on it, and he loved it. He's never really played games since Gears of War 2.
Right.
And suddenly we were having this big laugh as kind of like a family. We were literally inviting like sort of the extended family over to come and try it. Come and play the kitchen demo on Resident Evil 7 and watch, you know, my family get scared crapless. And that was that was awesome, because I think the implementation of the second screen, the fact that you can always see what they're seeing in a more rudimentary way, I think that just encourages sort of like those party experiences, no matter whether it's a single player game where you could just see someone's reactions and that's always funny, or whether it is a proper co-op party experience where you have two different perspectives or two different screens. I just think it's a really versatile piece of tech.
Yeah.
But I would say that I agree with Ash in that it is very cumbersome if you just want to play Blood and Truth. It's when I get home from work, say, after a day here, I'm not really incentivized to push away the table,
that's what puts me off
all the leads,
more,
you know, get it out, put it on me head, charge up the controllers for an hour of play. You know, it's a lot of investment. And for me, when I do play the VR, it's sort of a weekend thing.
Right.
It's something I binge all weekend, and I'll put it away for a few months, and I'll binge it all weekend again and get back to it.
I think they have to have that stuff in mind if they're going to go with the whole, like, you need a whole bunch of accessories to even get it off the ground kind of thing. I just think it's an interesting thing to patent. Like, if when you have someone like Oculus pioneering the idea of completely cableless VR that you can just sort of slip into. The last one is the most promising one, at least for me or whatever, is that the PS5, there's a patent for that that's going to be fully backwards compatible with every other disc from PlayStation.
Yes, thank God.
It hasn't been officially announced or anything, but it was Mark Cerny, who's the Sony's like lead architect or whatever on PlayStation, apparently found out a way to design this thing that would read all the PlayStation discs, which feels like it makes total sense considering how much success Game Pass is having, and the Xbox One's backwards compatibility. I totally expect the next Sony announcement to be like, Bosch, you can literally play every single PlayStation game.
Yeah.
Just put a PS1 disc in it, it'll work, etc., etc. I love this.
I love it. I think this is what we kind of need. We've gone so long where we've had a weird relationship with backwards compatibility. We've just sort of taken it at face value that we don't need it. You know, people...
Sony themselves said that.
Exactly. They've found other ways to kind of try to implement it, whether it's through kind of remaking older games or at least porting them over with trophies and higher resolution, or giving you PlayStation Now. And I just don't think it cuts it anymore, especially when Microsoft's shown you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have full backwards compatibility for a bunch of games that they keep adding to, as well as Games Pass, which you can pay a subscription for, and then access this back catalog of titles across generations. And I think Sony has such a rich library of past games and franchises that are just kind of lying there at the minute. They're just kind of languishing for collectors or whatever, and they can so capitalize on it and get people back through. We've seen how much nostalgia sells this generation.
Yes.
And you don't need a full-on remake or remaster to tap into that market.
Plus, like, if they have any sort of like scanning software on their side where you put a disc in for like the original, I don't know, something like the original Medieval or whatever, like before they sort of greenlit it, then they can know on their side that, hey, by the way, a lot of people still like that game, and it makes more sense that you can focus on what you want to you know, upgrade or whatever. For me, it just makes sense to respect the legacy that got them there in the first place. And I still have like a handful of PS2 games, like SSX Tricky and like SmackDown or whatever. And it's like, I would go back to those games like in a party sense or whatever. I always liken it to film in this regard. Like, people don't stop watching old classics. They like, there's no real benefit to locking them off from it. Ash, what do you think?
I really like it. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a long time coming as well. I think Xbox have like led the way with all the backwards compatibility stuff, and PlayStation are known for their excellent games more than they are their compatibility stuff, like, or the way that their systems work. I feel like their games are where they like thrive massively. So for them to have ignored them for this long and then watched Xbox like suck up all the goodness, like, I think it's about time that they finally do it. Like, I play my PS2 quite often. Like, I go back to PS2 games quite often, and PS1 as well. And that they're remastering everything, and knowing that that is there, that people want those games back, just says that they need to do it.
I hope. I don't think it's possible because they're read from a disc and not a cartridge or whatever, but I would hope that they would bring some sort of like updated like, you know, a hardware quality to it where they can suspend and resume it. I don't think it's possible at all, but I would love that stuff, like some way of making it more palatable to revisit old games.
I think some the way that it was on Xbox, sometimes you could put the disc in and then have it as a download, like it wouldn't just play off the disc. So there's a way of the implementing things into that that would work with
actually. Yeah, the original version, the original 360 version had this, like, on the 360 you had this option where if you put a game in, you could hit a button to optionally install some of it, and then it would read that from the disc from the drive instead. Maybe there's some fantastical way that Mark Cerny can figure out to let us sort of do this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was on Games Pass when I was going through the first three Gears of War games. But you could do sort of like the suspend resume thing via like the Games Pass download, which I assume is the same file download as what you get on backwards compatibility.
True.
So, I
mean, it's just that you need the developers or the publishers to upload that master file to their servers to then be able to access that. So it's kind of on the publisher side to upload everything. But I mean, it's Sony. If Sony came knocking and said, hey, we want to like make people play your old games, and then we'll see if they're interested in more, like, that'd be, it'd make perfect sense.
Take
to
my
do
cartridges,
it.
Take
please update everything. So yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below of the potential future of video game things and which patents you're looking forward to the most. For now, though, this has been the World Culture It's been the World Culture Gaming Podcast.
Yes, it has.
And I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ash Melman.
Goodbye.
And Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
See
bye.
Ya.
Bye.
That wasn't bye, that was see ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Wouldn't want to be ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.